This is George.
And this is Donna.
And this is
Currently with George and Donna.
That'll never get old.
Never.
And then when we were recording our 100th episode, we'd be like, remember when we used to say Currently with George and
Donna? What we didn't tell y'all babies is that George and I have been married for a little over 10 years now. Every single morning we've woken up for those 10 years and looked at each other and said, this day with George and Donna.
This is morning with George and Donna.
Kidding. Could you imagine? Wait, you think there's any couples out there that every single morning of their lives they've said or done the exact same thing?
Said good morning?
But like in a weird way, like in the exact same way. Like he gets up 5 minutes before her. He goes into the kitchen, starts making the eggs. She goes into the bathroom and brushes her teeth. Like, every morning for, like, 25 years.
Probably.
You think there's people... There's gotta be, statistically, right? Mm-hmm. People out there that have done the exact same thing almost every day. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, you're freaking me out, lady.
I hope so, lady. Because, listen... We're going to talk about something for you right now. You want to know what? I want to talk about podcasts and shows that we watch.
That we've been watching currently.
Currently, yeah. That we watch currently.
Give me your top podcast right now that you listen to.
My top podcast right now. I'm a Dateline girl. Always have been. Ask anybody I know.
I am first hearing about this of you. Somebody would come to me and be like, is your wife a Dateline girl? I would have been like, what? You better get ready to fight.
It does sound bad, doesn't it? Dateline. It sounds like...
Hey, I heard your girl's a Dateline girl.
Ew.
Is that you?
No.
I would have been like, girl.
No.
Them be fighting words.
Them be fighting words. I heard your wife's a real Dateline kind of girl.
If they said it that aggressively, I would have backed away.
Oh my God.
And ran home. Even though I had my car, I would have started running home to find you and ask you some serious questions. And the pent-up anger, the reason I would have ran home was because the pent-up anger would have hopefully been diffused with the 3 to 4 miles of constant jogging and hard breathing that I was doing.
And then when you got to the door, I just would have went, why are you so sweaty?
Are you a Dateline girl?
Anyways, that's disturbing. That listen to Dateline. No, but seriously, I listen to, I guess, like the TED podcast, the TED Talks. Yeah. I listen to there's a couple of different ones of those out there. I listen to Stuff You Should Know. I listen to...
But what would you say is your favorite, like, criminal?
Oh, well, I listen... Well, I was trying to say... Your favorite criminal. Okay. Well, I was trying to say I listen to things other than true crime. But for true crime, I listen to True Crime Obsessed. I think they're hilarious. There are ones that we all kind of like Serial.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
That was great.
Yeah, and those are like seasonal.
Mm.
So I like some of those too. Dirty John was one that I listened to. Mm. That was seasonal.
Yeah, you told me a little bit.
Dr. Death was a seasonal one. Yeah, I like a few of them. Why do you ask?
Yeah, I'm just asking.
Oh.
Let's see which ones are your favorite. Because you're listening to a lot more of those kind of podcasts than I do.
Yeah. I listened to some comedy ones too. Don't get me. I'm not surrounding myself with true crime 24/7, which is what it sounds like. I'm not doing that. I do listen to some comedy podcast. I listen to a little something called Currently with George. Just kidding.
You do listen to it though.
Well, I do a check on us to see how crazy we sounded. I usually listen.
I hear you erupt in laughter sometimes about the way you said salmon. It's not Solomon, idiot.
No, I don't call you an idiot. Are you crazy? Just called you crazy.
So obviously this is a great one. I only do one podcast.
You listen to one podcast?
Yeah, I try different ones, but unless first finding a good podcast helps you for road trips. I remember listening to Syria when we went to highlight of Katie's wedding. Was listening to the Serial podcast. Katie's going to be like, what? I'm kidding, Katie. I'm kidding. It wasn't the highlight of your wedding. But remember, when we're not at the wedding, we're not as busy as you are.
We were just driving to
it. But man, that drive flew by because that podcast had us on the edge of our seat, literally.
Yeah.
Listen to everything about that. I was like, it's hard to find ones that good nowadays.
That are that well done. And you know, I think that lady, you hear her name a million times when you're listening to it, but I forgot it, from NPR. She kind of broke the mold on the true crime podcast genre, I feel like a little bit. I mean, don't get me wrong, people were doing tons of stuff on that, but when she came out with Serial, kind of like revamped the way people do the storytelling part around it, right?
Yeah.
George is trying to kill a fly that's in our kitchen. Did you get it?
No.
Dang it. It's a little, what's it called?
Little gnat.
No, it's not a gnat. It's a...
midget?
No. Did you say a midget?
Widget?
A midge? A midge. Is something that looks like a mosquito.
It's way too close to midget. I can't say midge without saying midget.
No,
sorry.
It's a midge.
It's just something we're going to have to deal with for the rest of our lives. Anyway, what were you saying about your podcast?
I was trying to say that this is a something fly. What's it called? Not a mayfly. These little flies that are not gnats, but they're tiny, tiny little guys. George's got... I'm not kidding. This is not a joke. George is resting his forehead on his arm on the table.
Because I'm just waiting for you to pass by.
As if I'm draining the life out of him right now. Because
I'm waiting for you to just figure out what the word is. And let's get back to podcast.
Why need your help? It's a...
I don't know. I called it a midget. Why are you asking me for help? I'm the wrong person.
They're not called midgets. They're called midgets.
I know, but that's why. That my whole point is, why would you ask the guy who's calling them midgets to help you figure out what the name of the little fly is?
Touche. You got me there. I don't know. I'm an idiot. I don't know why I would ask the guy here to help me think of what that fly is called.
I have no idea. I didn't know flies have other names.
They're tiny, tiny little ones that are almost...
mini flies. Look.
Do not look at me and say the word mini fly or I'll punch you right in your face. Don't. Don't say mini fly.
I'm just repeating the words you're telling me and how I'm connecting them in my head.
Don't even use a synonym of mini. Nano, tiny. Don't use any of those.
All right.
I'm going to think of them before this podcast is over, and I'm not going to look it up. I've been trying to do this thing lately where I refuse to look things up. I try for as long as I can, given the situation, of course. If it's something I need to know right away, obviously I have to look it up. But if it's something I'm just trying to think of, I'm trying not to use Google or my phone to look it up because they're doing studies now that say if you can come up with the thing on your own, it increases your brain power. But if you stop that train of thought in its tracks because you've answered it artificially by some... like, you don't finish that neural pathway or whatever. Mark Wahlberg, do not call me about this or write in. I don't want you to prove me wrong on this. I'm just saying, like, I can't tell you about the whole study right now, but the studies are, you need to try and complete... trying to think of that thing for as long as you can to keep your brain strong. So I've been trying to desperately to not look things up. So by the end of this podcast, I hope to think of what this little fly is called. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's like when you have things like you put some, you know, fruit salad on your counter, and then like there's this tiny, tiny, tiny little fly that you see flying around it. You know what it's... right now somebody's screaming it. Right now, somebody is screaming it while they are listening to this.
And they're so frustrated because they wish they had an email or a website to go to and say, for the love of God. It's called a mini fly.
I told you not to say mini fly.
And now I'm dead.
Oh, you're so lucky I don't have a weapon. You're so lucky I don't have a weapon.
Anyway, favorite podcast.
You see what he does to me, you guys? I'll say something like, don't you dare say mini fly. And he'll wait and he will strategically say it anyway. When we have kids, all I can say is that I'm going to leave them with him a lot. Because if they're anything like him, he needs to know how he treats me. He needs to know. He needs to know what it feels like to look somebody dead in their face and say, don't do that. And then they just look you right back in your face and do it.
So your favorite podcast.
Okay. I already told you.
So Crime Obsessed. I said I listened to one and that's where we got derailed.
Yeah.
I listened to one. When we're not listening to one together, it is called The Secret Cabal Gaming Podcast. It's awesome. It's long, so you can't just get through it in one sitting. Like, it's 3 hours each episode. And then they have some shorter ones, and then they have some specific ones on different topics like role-playing games and things like that. So it's all about
gaming?
Yeah, it's all about board game. Very, very little video game talk in there, but it's mostly board gaming or role-playing games. So,
Fruit fly! A fruit fly! It's called a fruit fly.
So although,
I was not listening to you at all. I was just trying to think of the name of the fly. And here's what makes me feel super stupid. I said earlier, you put a fruit salad out or something on your counter. And then this little fly comes by. The name fruit is in the name of the fly. Gotcha. Do you think my brain did something right there? And
yes.
And was like, you already know the answer. And
yes.
I'm going to give you part of the answer.
Yes.
It's a fruit fly. Anyway, talk about your stupid gaming podcast.
It's not stupid. And I resent that. And
I'm kidding.
So do some of the listeners, I can tell you, that listen to
it. Kidding. Gosh, y'all.
Yeah, that's my...
Don't come for me with pitchforks or anything. I just need y'all to know that me coming up with the name of that little fly was more important for a second.
Anyway. So that's it. That's the only one I listen to. Other than that, I'm doing audiobooks and things like that. So, we're watching, I wouldn't say we're watching a lot of. What we tend to do is when a show comes out, we get pretty obsessed with it and just binge it, pretty much.
Me and you?
Yeah, we set aside our schedules and we're like, hey, I was going to build that really cool thing or I was going to fix that thing around the house, but we have this show to watch.
Who was going to fix something around the house?
You're not funny. So, one recently that we've seen, Ozark, season 3. What? That show is great.
Let me just put this out there. I disagree strongly with the language in that show.
I disagree strongly with everything, but just like Breaking Bad, it's a great show.
Breaking Bad
was
on like AMC, right? Or USA.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It was still a bad guy making meth. Well, like, you couldn't root for him.
That's a given. Yeah. I listen to true crime. I don't agree with any of that. The given part is that you disagree with the murder part and the drug dealing part.
Yeah.
That's a given. But the way they deliver the artistic medium
to show you what
through
they're
all
doing.
The cussing, I don't agree with.
No.
When you listen or watch true crime, no matter what it is, no matter if it's theft, drugs, murder, even sexual stuff, which I tend to stay away from, I think we both do. But any of that, you're already accepting that there's some vice there that you don't agree with, right? And you want to see the bad guy caught. But when they add on top of that, when they don't need to, when it's fictional and they add a bunch of cursing, I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah.
And it exhausts me. I'm just like, all right, can we use other words? Everybody knows their words?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think this was... It's hard for a show to, I don't know if it's hard for a show, but sometimes you have a great first season and the second season is not as good because they try to top some things and do some things different. This show changed in a way that was familiar. still in line and in line with their the story that they're telling, and it was great. The acting was great. The story was great. The circumstances were great. They kept me guessing. The characters they introduced were great. It's like people who are writing that show really care about that show. You could tell. And sort of like Breaking Bad, the same thing. Like they really put their just best foot forward to come out with a good story for you.
Yeah.
I think what hurts Ozark is that it's bingeable. Like if it was a weekly thing, more people would be talking about
it. I don't think it hurts it at all. I think it's like, I think people wait for longingly for that next season because they binged. And I think they'll probably even rewatch. Yeah, they rewatch episodes because they binged. They probably rebinge. Like we're doing with The Office. We're rebinging. We rebinged The Office. You know?
No, in hindsight, it's good to do that. And believe it or not, I don't think Ozark's a season that I'm going to watch twice, you know? But,
No, we wouldn't. Because I can't deal with all this cussing.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a good point for you, though. Why you know it's unnecessary. Because Breaking Bad was on a basic cable channel.
AMC.
And didn't have all the cursing. It was still a revered show. Yeah.
But remember, I think this would have been... Like I said, I still hold true that just because it comes out in a bingeable season, I don't think that's great for the show. Disney Plus has proved that with the show, the Star Wars show, Mandalorian, that it can come out with weekly and people will still accept that.
Yeah, people
will. I think there's something about a show, and it's just my thought, is that there's something about a show.
You think there's some psychology behind it.
Yeah, that you get a week and you get to talk to your friends about it and you get to kind of, I think people like book clubs and show clubs a lot more now than ever before.
That's a good point. People do love a book club. I wish I was one of them.
Well, I'm starting one on the Stormlight Archives with Brandon Sanderson.
Look at you.
On Mondays at 6 o'clock, we're gonna do a video conference.
Listen, can I use that as a bragging point?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to walk around, I don't know, the grocery store and be like, my husband's in a book club.
What was funny is that...
Not me. I'm not smart enough. But my husband's in a book club.
You only have a PhD and a master's MBA in business, and then you only have your real estate license.
Hey, listen.
You're not smart enough to be in my book
club. Listen, shout out to all the little kids out there who don't like to read because maybe they have problems with dyslexia or something. I don't know. It's okay. You can still do what you want to do in life because take it one bite at a time. I'm not a big reader. I wish I was, but I'm not. And I still was able to accomplish getting my degree. Yeah. So,
well,
little kids out there, if we have any, maybe Mark Wahlberg's kids listen, I don't know. But don't let that discourage you if you're not an avid reader. You know, try, because I do believe it's good for you. But if you don't enjoy it for leisure, you just do it when you have to, that's okay too. You could still accomplish things, just stick to it. Anyway, back to what we were talking about.
End of the public service
announcement. Stuff you should know. Oh, wait, no. What was the thing?
The more you know.
The more you know.
Pretty funny. So, our friends were on Slack and we're talking about this book and we're like just diving into it. And it's one of my favorite series ever done. And the writer, the author is still Brandon Sanderson, is still coming out with material for it, so it's something to look forward to, which is part of that exam. And in a way, a book is a bingeable.
Don't touch my knee when you're talking to me. George just touched my knee when he was talking.
We'll let you continue with the podcast.
I'm kidding. I want to hear all about it. I just couldn't resist because he was talking and he very organically reached over and touched my knee while he was talking to me. And I just wanted to make a joke. Wah, wah. I'm sorry. Continue.
No, it's okay.
Go ahead.
Jesus.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't. Where was I? I want you to recap it for us and the rest of the podcast.
Sanderson and his books and his and the club, and the book club, mm-hmm. and reading the books and making a club out of it.
Yeah. That's all you heard, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Please continue, though, because people are interested in this.
Okay. So we're discussing the books, and were writing all about it. And one of the people on Slack said, Costa on Slack says, I was telling my wife that we're writing about this book a lot and discussing it. And she looks over at him and she says, oh, you're in a book club. And he never realized that. And I'm like, it's true, right? Like, that's the fun part when you find a book series and other people who enjoy it as much. It's almost like a TV show.
Yeah.
And then that makes me think about the next point that I had just made counterpoint to my previous point, which was the bingeableness of it. Books come out, especially if you're keeping in line with the release dates, they come out years apart. Mm-hmm. Harry Potter, things like that. So
yeah, but
in a way,
by nature of it, a single book is bingeable.
Yeah, it's a bingeable. Yeah, that was my point. It's just like, ah, that's kind of interesting if you look at the media form of TV that way.
Yeah,
that it's a whole bingeable story, like it's an 8-hour movie versus a 2-hour movie that you can still discuss in hindsight.
Right.
But I think there's something still to that whole weekly episodic thing.
Could be. Yeah, I definitely think that, like, Netflix, for instance, that really has tapped into something and capitalized on something that has very much to do with our culture now, which everything's instant gratification. And people enjoy that, and they like that now. Whereas, you know, if you were born in the year 1900, you enjoyed a good book. And you wanted to sit and take your time with a good book, because what the heck else were you going to do? Aside from farm or work at the train station or, you know, knit the clothes or whatever else hard job there was out there for you at the time, unless you were born into some kind of crazy privilege, everybody else had a hard job and you wanted to sit and consume something at a slow pace and enjoy it and really like immerse yourself in it. Whereas today, people do so many things in one 24-hour day. We do everything. We do more in one day that people would have done in a whole month 100 years ago. Mm. We eat foods. I've said this before to you. We eat foods in one day that most people couldn't have even gotten their hands on 100 years ago. Mm. Good point. Like for me to eat a kiwi is nothing. I go down to Winn-Dixie, I buy a kiwi, I come home and I eat it. Mm. But 100 years ago, you'd be lucky if you saw a kiwi in person. Mm. You know, so I can do.
And if you saw one, walk the other way.
Right, exactly. But we do so many things in one day now that it would take them like a couple years to, like, I can go from here to another state and back, eat a kiwi, learn how to knit something online, see some rare tribe on some history channel or whatever, see all about their life, watch that for an hour. See a movie, read some of a book. Like, we do so much in a day that it's no wonder we want to consume things quickly. And certain companies like Netflix know, okay, it's fine. This whole bingeable thing's fine. People want this.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine. It's
definitely changed.
Yeah.
Changed the... I like it. I like being able to binge watch things because you get the full gratification of it. I like to see the story from beginning to end. The cliffhangers kill me because it's going to be a while before you see the resolution to that, though. So there's also that. You know what we should do? We should watch Lost.
Yeah, we should rewatch Lost.
We should rewatch Lost.
That was a good one.
That was a great one. We obviously jumped on the bandwagon and watched Tiger King.
Oh, my word.
And that was something I wasn't interested at all watching. And then they played the music video that he sings. I saw a tiger looking at me.
That's not how it goes, but okay. Oh, my gosh. Oh, okay. So, you know, I just told this story to our friends a couple days ago. Y'all know how I love true crime podcasts. So about a year and a half ago or so, I remember, because it was the last time or the time before George went to Baltimore for one of his shows for his work. And I remember walking around Baltimore and listening.
You can remember to this. Where you are when you're listening to a podcast.
Yes. Have I said that before to to the babies?
I don't know if the babies know that.
Okay, this is the weird thing, babies, and I'll just really quickly try and tell you. I associate memories with different things that I listen to. I think I have like an audio memory or something. Some people say they're visual learners. I think I'm like an audible learner, because if you ask me when you were listening to that episode of Stuff You Should Know or that episode of whatever, where were you? And I could say, oh, I remember I was walking in Chicago on the street. Listen, I can remember where I was. Mm. It's the weirdest thing ever. So I have this memory. There, before Tiger King was a Netflix show, Tiger King was a podcast called Joe Exotic. And I started listening to it when we were in Baltimore last year. And I can remember walking around the streets and around a little marina, like wharf area in Baltimore. And I listened to the first few episodes. And I remember thinking, this thing's too much for me. This thing is crazy, off the wall, just no. And so I stopped listening to it. I was like three episodes into the podcast. And I just said, no, I'm putting it away. I'm not listening to this anymore. It's just too much. Fast forward to now, Tiger King comes out and every freaking body I know is watching this thing.
And it's hilarious.
And I told one of my friends, I'm like, yeah, I started listening to the podcast last year about this guy and it was too much for me and I didn't keep listening. She's like, trust me, revisit and watch the show. And it's true. It was done, I guess, by different groups of people, done in a totally different way. And much more entertaining and much more light. Not that trying to hire somebody to kill someone is lighthearted, but the show, believe it or not, the show version is way more lighthearted than the podcast. Well, the thing was. Is,
I'm convinced that these guys at Netflix, because Netflix, you can see a pattern here. They buy, and I've known this, they buy movies that are shelved. Because they don't think the Universal doesn't want to spend the money on this movie. So Netflix says, we'll buy it. We'll attach another director to edit it. And we'll release it as a Netflix original. And they'll like get J.J. Abrams to sign on. And then they release it. And that's their Netflix movie of the month, you know, kind of thing. And so I know that they do that. So we've been seeing, because we saw The Pharmacist, which is another one. Where they got
Let's talk about that footage.
They got all this footage of everything. Yeah. And you can tell, I think it was Netflix or whoever it was that edited this show together, loved and knew just how crazy this whole thing was. So they were totally, totally in on it. They were one of the viewers saying, no, look, no, seriously, look.
This is crazy.
This is crazy.
This dude cray. Everybody involved in this is cray.
And then they made it very suggestive about like, did this lady kill this guy? This guy's dead. And this lady dead. Yeah. You know? And it's just like, it is so, so, so
it's
good.
It's over the top.
It's over the top. It's so funny. It's also, I mean, there's a lot of serious subjects in that. But the thing is, this happened, right? Like, you have to kind of take that in a way that you understand that it happened. It's really, and this is our view of it. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of that Seinfeld show, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And I think it was with Chris Rock, right? That he's at the table, and we've talked about this before. And they're talking about how they're like at a funeral or at a really macabre situations.
Or like a sort of thing that just happened that's like kind of bad and like it's too soon to make any jokes.
But they know the joke.
Yeah.
They know the joke. Yeah. They know the joke and they're like, we can't say it right now. But
yeah,
we know it.
Yeah. But yeah, like, okay, aside from the animal rights things, and I don't want to see any animals abused or taken advantage of. Aside from that, on the human rights part, there's not any real crimes committed in Tiger King, like human wise, right? But there's this huge thing that comes up that maybe this lady murdered her husband, like, and why is this coming up years later? Like, why now is it a spotlight on this lady?
And she must hate it. It must be something that she tries to...
Because look, it was something she like got away with. Scot-free, free and clear.
Basically.
Like she was like, okay, whew, that's over with.
And when you,
and then and all when of you... a sudden it's like everybody's in the universe is watching this thing.
I'm sorry. It's been 2 weeks since the Tiger King episode, so we're able to discuss it. I give a 2 week rule to not discussing something that's been on TV or popular media or movie.
Yeah, because if you haven't seen it, that's on you.
That's on you. So sorry if I spoiled this, but man, the memes about Claire Baskin.
Carol
Baskin actually doing it. You know, like, did she kill her husband? Which was the biggest question that came out of it.
Right.
Oh, the memes. The memes are so funny. The one where you did Claire Baskins do it?
Carol.
What did I say? Did Carol Baskins do it?
I don't know,
but
my sister's dog is named Claire, and I take offense to you saying Claire Baskin. Claire's the cutest puppy ever.
Okay, Donna. Did Carol Baskins do it? And then there's put the mail under yes if you believe yes, or under no if you believe no.
Oh, the meme, yeah.
Yeah, and there's all the mails under no. Yeah. I absolutely think it's so freaking funny.
Well, it's like, okay, think of what's like a, okay, I know you and I try to do everything above board, but there's some things out there we must do, right? What's something that you've tried to do and get away with? I don't know, like, oh, okay, so like use an expired coupon.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
So I've had my fair share of like finding an old Bed Bath & Beyond coupon and hearing people say sometimes they accept old coupons, right? So you just kind of like just hand it over. Knowing you know the expiration date, but maybe the cashier won't see the expiration date. And maybe it'll still work when they scan it, right? I've had my fair share of doing like that kind of thing. So imagine a Netflix special comes out that everybody on Earth watches 2 years from now of me handing over the coupon that I know is expired.
And it being brought back up.
And listen, but I got away with it. I got the vacuum.
Okay, so
I got the vacuum 20% off.
I'm going to ask you. Say one line defending yourself, right? At the time when this thing first happened. So the cashier says, this coupon is expired, ma'am. What's the one line you say?
I say, he said I got to get up early in the morning. And then he's got to bring me to the airport. Because that's what Carol said that her husband said.
Okay, so 10 years later.
No, Carol said, I got to get up early.
Early, right? Now, let me ask you the same question about what you told that person 20 years later. Hey, when you tried to hand in that expired coupon, what did you tell to the cashier?
I told the cashier, got to use the coupon early.
The exact tone.
Yeah, she's
wording, inflection.
She says the
dude,
same thing.
Dude, it was like a robot.
Yeah.
And that was like, oh, David dead. Because I didn't really know, you know. I didn't know. But they ask her again, and they show a video of her 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And then they show her, and he's like, early. She even rolled her eyes. Early. You know, like.
Oh. Yeah, she had rehearsed that line.
Oh, my God. You could picture him from in the mirror. Early.
Yeah. So for you guys who have not seen Tiger King, which I'm pretty sure everybody's
this will
seen
all
it,
make sense to you.
But she says that the last thing her husband said to her was that he had to get up early in the morning to go to the airport to fly to.
And she kind of does like a
was
fake
it?
Laugh.
Costa Rica or
yeah, Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
Yeah.
He had to fly to Costa Rica early in the morning.
Oh my
but seriously,
God.
It's that kind of thing.
That's
like,
my favorite part of the show. It's
what
just
if,
like
what if
they like totally blew up the spot of this lady.
I know.
Talking about something else.
I know.
Talking about this
the
tiger
animal rights yeah.
and things like that. That's I can only imagine, like I said, the editors are us. You know, like they're also us. And they're like, did you hear her say that? Check out the way she says it, and then check out the way she says it 30 years ago. The exact same thing. That was they're just enjoying this as much as we are.
But imagine if you're her, and you got away with it. Like you used the coupon, you got the vacuum 20% off when the coupon
you
was expired.
Away.
You walked away. You just got free. You've been using that vacuum, and then all of a sudden Netflix makes a show about you and your vacuum. 10 years later, It's like, what must she be going through? Like, what? She's got to be in her house just rocking back and forth and shaking right
now. So she knows she was put on the show, so she had to agree to be on the show. So do you think she was like...
Wait a second. Wait. Side point. Do you think she had to agree to Netflix? Oh, no, you're right, because they do interview. I was about to say...
Yeah, remember she's in the car.
Yeah, they didn't just use video of her. They used one-on-one interviews.
So it's the audacity of her saying, I'm going to be on the show because I was whatever, somebody tried to kill me or whatever. I'm going to be on the show and I'm going to talk about animal rights and whatever.
Not knowing that the meme would be, oh, Carol Baskin's husband is dead. She killed him. Like, she probably, like, you know what? Full-heartedly, like, naively, she probably thought, I'm going to come out the winner in this.
It's hubris. It's hubris.
Exactly.
At its primary. It's like that Edgar Allan Poe poem about the heart beating.
The telltale heart.
It's just like you committed the perfect crime, but there is no perfect crime because you want to tell somebody you committed the perfect crime.
Right.
So I think that's hubris. That. And obviously Joe Exotic is obviously the highlight of the show and his craziness. And
so, okay, Donald Trump has been, or people have insinuated that Donald Trump might pardon Joe. What do you think about that?
It's hard for me because he did a lot of, he's a crazy. But is he...
Who, Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, he cray. For sure.
He's a crazy. And I feel like we all know somebody like that. Where they're just a little off.
Yes. My dad's side of the whole family is like that. Yes.
You know, who's just a little off. And look, he didn't do anything to help him. And his views are... But it's almost like... you know what humbled me? Not humbled me, but what humbled... What... was humbling to him when he ran for governor and lost. You could tell that he thought he was going to win.
Mm.
You could tell that he thought he was going to be the governor of whatever and just kind of wing it with his charm, wing it a prayer and win. And then that humbled him. And you can tell that towards the end of the show that there was a lot of humbling things because what things evolved to was... this really negative part about his life, but initially he recalls and he tells you he did this to have fun because he loved tigers and he loved entertaining. So it sucks that it devolved into that.
So, you know, I'm of the camp that like no one's innocent in this whole thing. They're all bags of trash. But the one thing that I appreciated about the guy Joe is that at one point toward the end of the documentary he does say, I started out on the right path, which was caring about the animals and all. And then somewhere I lost my way. And it became not about the animals. It became about everything else and about me and about, you know, pride and ego. And so if half of us would admit that in our lives, I think the world would be a better place.
Like, so do you think, the question is, do you think he should be pardoned?
Well, I think if evidence was found in a court of law that he broke the law, then no, he shouldn't be pardoned.
Right.
But if it was a trumped up case. Hmm. Wait a tick. That's a weird saying. Anyway, that's
so
weird.
Here's another thing you brought up. There's something about people who record themselves all the time.
Oh, yes, you guys. Okay, this has to do with podcasts. And documentaries.
No, not podcasts. It has nothing to do with podcasts and people recording themselves on podcasts.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, go for it.
Old footage. I'm saying, no. It has to do with podcasts that use audio recordings of people.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And it also has to do with documentaries that use audio and visual recordings of people. I've come up with a new theory. If you're the type of person who's made video and or audio recordings of yourself over a long period of time, you're more likely to get a Netflix or a podcast or like a podcast, like a big deal with a podcast stream, like a company.
If it ends in a negative result, I think, is what they love.
Aww.
Don't you think?
No, it's true. You gotta have drama behind
it. There's just some drama.
Because think about it. This guy who made Tiger King liked to record every bit of his life. So he has all this footage, like audio and video. Another Netflix show we watched recently kind of hit home because it was The Pharmacist. And it was filmed in my hometown of St. Bernard, Louisiana. And it's about this pharmacist at one of the local pharmacies where actually my family went to when I was growing up. He was trying to solve the murder of his son who became a drug addict and got killed in a drug deal. And so this pharmacist was trying to solve his son's murder. Well, the pharmacist, before the murder even happened, was in the habit of doing audio and visual recordings of his family. So he would just like, they'd be sitting down for dinner and he would just like, boop, set on the audio recorder. And they'd be like, Dad, are you recording this dinner? Like, are you recording our audio? Are you recording us on video? Like,
so much so that they were able to tell that he was recording because he changed his voice.
He was a little different. His personality was different.
Oh, you're not screaming at me anymore? Because what? Are you recording? Is that why?
Yeah. So
I thought that was fantastic.
So it's like, in order to get a deal with like Netflix or...
Again, they want prepackaged or all
exactly.
of the media done.
So if you're
and
the,
it's cheap for them.
If you're the type of person who already documents your life for one reason or another, I feel like it's easy to get a podcast or a documentary deal. Because you're like, look, I got 24 years worth of audio visual. Well, did anything happen? Not really. I mean, my kids went to college. Well, did anything crazy happen with you? Well, one of my kids witnessed a murder. That's it. You got a deal.
You got a deal. How much? 100 grand? Right here. We'll right. take it all. Just give
we'll take
it,
everything
we'll
you got.
It. We'll bring it to our editing.
So there's
team.
Something to be said for people who keep recordings think, of their lives.
I think that's one thing that makes Netflix really great is just they are ready to roll with the punches. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
this whole other streaming services came out, but Netflix still manages to stay on top because they're just like, I think there's something about a company being fluid
Here's
and just able to like.
I'll tell you what it is. Netflix grew up scrappy. Netflix was born out of drama.
Yeah, with Blockbuster.
Because yeah. Netflix was born when the guy owed so many fees to Blockbuster. Well, you know
yeah,
the story.
Yeah.
What is it?
I love it. I forget the guy's names, but he owed a bunch of fees to Blockbuster. He thought this was ridiculous. So he decided to start his own mailing service with DVDs just based off that principle. He starts to be successful. Blockbuster tries to offer him a deal. He says no. So they go to war basically on it. And then he single-handedly, that company takes down Blockbuster. Becomes the primary streaming. Then moves to streaming. Is one of the pioneers of streaming. And then now everybody jumps on the streaming bandwagon. And yet Netflix still is scrappy. Coming up with these great ideas, buying films and footage off the, you know, that's good. And I don't know if they have their own editing team or they want things pre-edited or they edit on the back end. But it is, they are being super, super fluid in this time where people like Disney Plus, right? Like one of the best companies, most famous companies, you think it's going to take Netflix out of business and it doesn't.
Right.
And then a company like Disney, this, you know, pandemic that we're going through happens and they push all their shows back a year. Right. So their streaming service is not going to have because they're so rigid where Netflix is still coming out with stuff. So I really, really enjoy them.
Isn't there some story about somebody sending somebody a kitchen sink?
Yeah, because the owner of Netflix said in the height of their war.
Back in the day, right?
Yeah, in the height of the war between. Because remember, Blockbuster started doing the mail order.
That's right.
DVDs.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if they ever got into streaming. I'm not sure if they ever got to that point. But I remember the mail order was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like to have Netflix
send in the DVDs through the mail.
Yeah, yeah, and getting them, and I used to enjoy it. Like I think people really enjoyed that, and so they got into that competition, and it was
Blockbuster was like offering to buy Netflix and whatever.
They refused, and then they got into like very verbal things. And one time, the head of CEO of Netflix said, Blockbuster has done everything except throw the kitchen sink at me, you know, to try to take down my company.
So it was Blockbuster that sent a kitchen sink to him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was like kind of like the McDonald's Burger King kind of war.
Okay, I didn't know who sent the sink to who, but I knew somebody sent a kitchen sink to the other one.
Just two side notes on theory that way. There's a big difference in my mind. I think it's more powerful than when a company is saying something and then a person of a company is saying something. There's more power in that. So Steve Jobs for Apple is much more powerful than just Apple saying this.
Putting out a statement.
Yeah, exactly. Steve Jobs says it. You know, Tesla versus, what's his name?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk saying it. Elon Musk, there's just something that people connect more with when another human being is saying something.
When he's on video saying something.
Yeah. It's just an edge that on Netflix had. If they would have made somebody the highlight of Blockbuster, maybe something would have been different. But
yeah, but we don't associate a person with Blockbuster.
Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of power.
But that's really interesting just how things change in that way. You know, like Blockbuster, everybody grew up on Blockbuster. That's my age. You know, everybody.
Yeah.
You would not think that a company like that would go away. So, excuse me, we're just seeing a lot of changes that we never thought we would see.
Yeah. And then this thing happens and we're all supposed to stay home. And Netflix is now one of the things that every list you go through is like what to stream at home, what on Netflix to stream, what on Amazon, what on Disney Plus or whatever to stream. And they're still in the conversation. So, you know, they were ready. I think the internet companies weren't ready, but I think that they were ready.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I love that whole concept and that whole thing happening. And I'm never going to hopefully be in something like that. Unless it's because I'm a rich person with a company that's at war with other companies.
Who's also fun famous.
But if I was, I've learned a lot from this whole situation, right? Like of how they've handled things. And you got to stay fluid. People are always changing their opinions on things, always changing their minds, always things are more popular than others. But it's like same but different kind of thing that people are doing.
Well, in this time, I'm sure thankful for like the internet and streaming in particular, because what if you, growing up like me, or even you, because you were born in 1984, you know what it would mean to be going through, because FYI, at the time that we're recording this, we're still under a little bit of a stay-at-home order.
You get that, yeah.
So, like, to grow up in, like, say this happened in, like, 1995, it's just you and TBS at that point, right? It's just, like, you and a bunch of Jean-Claude Van Damme reruns.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd be doing at that
and
time.
And some Full House episodes, rerun episodes, or new episodes even, Family Matters. It would just be, like, you and the TV.
My friends and I would probably still be outside playing sports.
Well, you can. Ask anybody right now in New York City that has kids.
But it's because it's a different time. Like,
no, the police are out on the streets right now in New York City telling everybody to get off the streets. That's the thing. If they even saw you outside on the street, they'd tell you to go back inside. So I get what you're saying, but like, so my point was how awful it would be. My point piggybacks on that. Like, you would want to still go outside, but if the police pass by twice an hour, every hour, and tell you, again, you can't be out here.
We would run.
You got to go back inside. And how awful it would be to be just you and TBS for this many days.
Yeah.
So we're lucky. You know, we're so lucky that we have these options with this entertainment and streaming and stuff like that.
But there's the other side to it. Is like, do we have to be entertained during this? We should be creating stuff, making stuff.
Yeah.
And is it more of a deterrent than it is a helpful thing? What more could have come out? And I'm not saying that that's okay. What I'm saying, I'm just saying, think about that. Like, so what if you had to create something?
I will say you and I are pretty good because it's only at night that we wind down and watch something.
I want to keep balance.
Yeah.
I don't want to overdo something.
So during the day, I'm cleaning, cooking, you know, we're fixing stuff around the house, you're working at your work stuff, or then when that's over, you work on hobbies. We'll even work on like a puzzle. I'll work on a puzzle or something. So it's not until like the later evening hours that we're like, okay, now let's watch something. And that's the part where we're blessed to have all these entertainment options.
Yeah, because we could watch.
So, but if you're a kid, like think of being like 13 back in like 1995 and this happened. You'd be like, there's only so many puzzles I can do. I don't cook. I don't do cleaning around the house with my mom.
Because I didn't have YouTube to like learn new skills, and I've always wanted to learn. I wouldn't be able to go to a library. I did read a lot growing up, so.
Yeah, maybe that would have been a point where you just read a bunch of books. Mm-hmm. And for me, I just would have done a lot of like puffy painting on sweatshirts.
What is puffy painting?
Puff paints. Making your own sweatshirt designs.
I've never.
Oh, girl, you got a lot to learn.
On that note, hey, babies, that's what we're currently watching. We'll probably do another episode about this, these kind of podcasts and shows that we're watching during this lockdown. And if you're listening to this 5 years from 5 years from now, we had a lockdown and we were all issued stay at home orders. I'm sure you didn't forget. Mm-mm. Because everybody's going to be able to remember this time.
Yeah.
We love you, babies. We hope you're staying safe.
Don't go kill anybody's husband out there, Carol Baskin. Bye, babies.
Oh, David dead.